this week. We finished up 1 Peter. We did 4 and 5, and then we did the whole book of 2 Peter. So hope you guys were able to stay with your reading. We are going to do just my opinion, or what would you like to do, just kind of hit the highlights of each chapter. And then since it's Thanksgiving and we're not having a Thanksgiving candlelight service this year, maybe just say what you're thankful for. If we have time at the end, for those who would like to say what they're thankful for. It's that time of year that it seems to bring up the fact that we have a lot to be thankful for, a lot. I mean, you can always find somebody that's going through something far worse than what you're going through. And when you're going through some rough times, if you'll help somebody else in need, it makes you feel a whole lot better too. So, but anyway, chapter 4 in 1 Peter. What did you guys get out of 1 Peter chapter 4? The kind of the breakdown of the chapter, the first part of the chapter talked about that we have talked about living for God. We are to live for God. And then the last part of the chapter talks about suffering for being a Christian. And some of us may not have that right now, but there are a lot of people out there that do suffer for being a Christian. And then the very first part of the chapter talks about since Christ suffered, and we're not going to suffer probably like he did. Now, there are many Christians that have suffered like Christ, have been martyred. But it's just saying that since Christ suffered, be ready. As a Christian, you are going to suffer. You're going to have persecutions. And so be ready for it. And some of you say, okay, I've gone through that trial. I've gone through that lesson. Let's go on to the next chapter. You know? But it just seems like that's where a lot of Christians stop wanting to live for Christ, because they say it's just too hard to be a Christian. It's too hard to for all the suffering and the persecution and the things that happen. And just because we're Christians does not give us a free ride. And the thought that we're never going to have problems, because we will. It's just, when is it going to happen, and is there going to be any kind of reprieve in between the things? So, but if you make it through on the other side, your faith is greater, and you're blessed. I like what in the King James it says, and above all things, have fervent charity, which is love, among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. And the NIV, it says, above all, love each other deeply. I like that. Love each other deeply. Have a deep love. Not a surface love, but a deep love. Do any of you have somebody in your life that doesn't like to be loved? You try to love them, and they don't want to have any part of it. It's, you know, but you still love them. Yeah. Those are the ones, tough ones to love, but those are the ones that break your heart. Anybody else in chapter 4? Let's go to chapter 5. Chapter 5 is basically Paul speaking to elders and young men, or speaking to ministers, preachers, giving them a final, this is what you do, this is your job. And then at the end of the chapter, he gives a final greeting to those Christians in Rome. I love reading it, and I've read some of these scriptures before, but when I read them this week, and I realized that it was two, it says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. Paul, James was saying, I'm also an elder, and have witnessed the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Peter was saying, preachers and young men that are going to preach or teach or have a calling from God, this is what I want you to do. And there was a list of them. And one of them, the first one was feed the flock. Your job, their job, is to make sure the church body, their flock, is fed. Help them to guide them and to direct them, teach them how to feed themselves. And then the next thing is don't lord over them. Don't rule them with a fist, heavy fist. You know, you're supposed to love them. If you love them, you're not going to lord over them. And so he's telling to their congregation, those that they have in their flock, don't lord over them and be an example. Preachers are to be an example. And usually when a preacher falls into sin, he takes a huge number of people with him. Because when he falls, he's like a mighty oak that's in the forest. When he falls, that oak will take down all the little saplings and little trees that are beside it. And usually when a elder or a preacher or somebody, a teacher, falls, he's going to destroy a lot of people. He told them to be subject to each other. A preacher needs, and a elder and people with a calling, they need to have a good base around them to keep them strong. Because if you give and give and give and give to the flock, and you need somebody to help bring that back up, feed you, help minister to you. And it says, be humble. And then when I looked at it, I love verse 7. It says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. I love that verse. And it goes on and it tells them to be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, or because Satan, as a roaring lion, is ready to destroy. Satan, if he can destroy a man of God, then he can destroy those that are in his flock. And I've always said, usually those, if you know somebody that was a hardened Christian, a hardened soul, and they get saved, and they get so sold out for God, and then it's just like Satan attacks, and he attacks, and he attacks, and he attacks, and he attacks. And Satan knows that if he doesn't stop attacking, that person is going to be an amazing soul winner for the Lord. And it's a lot of times it just gets to be too much, too much, too much. And Satan knows our buttons. He knows what can put us under, and that's where he's going to attack us at. And then the last part of it says, God will make you established. He will keep people. God will keep you strong. He will keep you firm, implanted, and give you strength and settle you. Just a great, great chapter.
That's right.
Anybody else? Well, let's go on to 2 Peter. Again, Peter. This is the same author of the first Peter. This is the brother of Jesus. He is a leader in the church, the early church. He is writing mainly to fellow preachers in the faith, keeping them strong. But in chapter 1, first off, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have attained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So he announces himself who the author is. And this chapter is going to be talks about the calling that people get in their lives for Christ. And then it talks about prophecy of the scripture at the last part of the chapter. So in chapter 1, what did anybody get something come out to them that stood out and really touched you? Okay. Mike. Anybody else? I like verse 4. It says, God has given us exceeding great promises. Wow. I love promises. And if God gives you a promise, He's going to keep it. But He has given us some great promises. Number one, that He'll never leave us or never forsake us. Number two, if you're a child of God, you have a home in heaven. And I'm not going to have just a little cabin. Right? Everybody else may think they're going to have a cabin. I'm going to have a mansion, I tell you. Anybody else? Yeah. Yeah. You think He grew? Yeah. Well, if you had seen what He saw, your faith would be mighty. Yeah. And I like the progression He gives there, starting in verse 5. It says, be diligent in your faith, and it will go faith, and then with faith you'll get virtue, and then knowledge, and then temperance, then patience, godliness, kindness, and love. So as your faith grows, you will grow those qualities. And maybe that's what He did. Maybe Peter finally was able to grow those things in his life. Kind of gives with Jeff's thing, how Peter was not heroic when they were crucifying Jesus. He denied Him, but his faith was not very strong, was it, at that time? But as his faith grew, he became heroic. To be the man he was. Yeah. So, when we go through trials and tribulations in our life and we fail, it's good to fail. We learn from that and we grow. So, when you see another Christian fall, a young Christian especially, don't condemn them. Grow them. Because they can learn from that mistake that they made. But if we as mature Christians put them down and don't help them grow, we'll lose them. Anybody else? I always love verse 16 on Peter was telling them, hey, what we saw was not fables. It was not tales. We were not telling big wild tales, because apparently maybe Peter did tell tales. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. But they saw what they saw with Jesus Christ. And then it goes on and it talks about how that they went up on the mount, Mount of Transfiguration. Peter was up there when Abraham and Elijah? That's the two that came down and met with Jesus on the... Was it Moses? Thank you. come down and met with them. And Peter saw that. And he's saying, that was, I saw that. I'm not telling you tales. I'm not telling you fables. This is what I saw. Wow. You know, there's, God can do some amazing things even today that will ensure our faith. And, you know, things that happen that only happen because God allowed them to happen. I know there's a lot of things in each one of your lives that you, some miraculous things that were probably impossible to situations that we're in, and God was the one that did it. And I'm sure Peter saw a lot of those things in his ministry, and he was just telling them, because, you know, nowadays people just think the Bible is just a bunch of fables. That didn't really happen. In fact, they don't even believe there's God. You know? So, and they think we're simple-minded, illiterate people. And we're not. We're just people of great faith. Keeps wanting to take him out of everything. And Jeff. And they're flocking to them in groves. Yes. Somebody, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how, oh, well. I mean, they're going to, some TV station is going to do a documentary on Jim Jones. And people followed him like he was Jesus. These charismatic type people, people will follow him. Because everybody's looking, they're looking for that. They just don't know where it is. And it seems like Satan keeps them from the truth. But yeah, I see now. I'm not prejudiced. This usually goes over the airway on our thing, so I'll try to be careful, because apparently Pastor Lindell said something about yoga and he's in big trouble. So I'll try to be good. But yeah, okay. These young women that are getting into Muslim, you know, you see them all over the place because they wear the wrap around their head, and I just shake my head and I think, do they realize they're not worth anything in the Muslim religion? Not worth anything. And they go for that because they're looking for a structure. And we as Christians anymore, we don't want to put structure down there because we're afraid we'll run them off. And we say, it's easy. Come on in. Come on in. We want to be a secret friendly church. Come on in. We will accept you. like you are, well, we will accept them, but we're going to preach against the sin. We should. Because they need the structure. And that's where we're losing these people to, because they're going to places that have structure and tells them they can't do this, they can't do this, they can't, blah, blah, blah. And we here as Christians that's got the truth are losing them because we're afraid to tell them that there's certain things you need to do. Yeah, sorry. Yes. Good job. I've missed your wit. Anybody else on chapter 1? Chapter 2. It talks about false teachers, and then it talks about their destruction. This chapter kind of scared me. There has been false teachers out there since day one, and there's continuing to be them. And God in this chapter is saying, I destroyed those false teachers in Noah's day. I destroyed them in Sodom and Gomorrah. I destroyed them, and he will continue to destroy them. And if you are preaching the word of God and you are not preaching it, you're a false preacher. God's going to he has your number, and you're going to get your just rewards, especially if you cause his little ones to fall. So it's that was a very eye-opening chapter. Anybody else in that chapter? Quran has Jesus in it. I mean, tells about him. Yeah. They always have a little bit of truth to suck them in to make it look legitimate, and then and grabs them. Yeah. Anybody else on chapter 2? Well, let's go to the final chapter of Peter, of 2 Peter. It's talking about the day of the Lord. Peter goes to show you that he did write both books, because it says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stirred up your pure minds by way of remembrance. He's telling you, I wrote the first book, I wrote the second book. So it kind of gives you a clue that Peter was the, Simon Peter was the author of these two books. And he tells them that holy men of old wrote these books. They were moved by the Holy Spirit. Anybody else on chapter 3? I like verse 8. And it's hard for us to understand this. As to God, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. That's hard for us to understand that. God has no time. There is no time frame. And that's what we live by, is time. Time is, you've got time, you've got to get to work at this time, you've got to be here. Time is something that keeps us organized, I guess. But God has no time. I always love the, I think it's, David has preached a couple of funerals about where a wife maybe has died or a husband has died, and then the spouse, he's preaching the spouse's funeral. And talks about how husband's been sitting on the fence. He says, well, I've been waiting here for you all day, you know, and it's been years since he's been in heaven. Who knows? That could be like it is. So, you know, just there is no time in heaven. Wouldn't that be nice to not have to gotta be there, you know? I don't wear a watch, but I do have a phone. Anybody else? A lot of stuff in these two chapters. If you was not able to really dig deep, like Robert was saying, dig deep and find out what those things, the progression from faith that Peter was talking about. Look into them and see exactly what it was that he was talking about. The whole chapter of 3 just is talking about there is going to be a day of the Lord. There is going to be judgment. There's going to be a time when God judges this world. Judgment is coming. We as Christians need to understand that it's our job to make sure that the world knows about Jesus. It's our job. That's what we're here for. If you're still alive, if you're still breathing, if you're still whatever, God has a purpose for you to be here. And I think the young guy from Willard that was 24, that was killed last weekend hunting. Apparently he had done what God wanted him to do, because he's in heaven now. So we are still here. We still have a job. So find out what that job is and do it. So next week, and I shut my Bible. Now I gotta go find my place again. 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd. So we're gonna do 1 John, which has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 chapters. We're gonna do 1 John next week. So make sure you read those. Jeff, would you dismiss us in prayer?